Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Be seated. If you are not angry, you are not paying attention. I saw that on a bumper sticker the other day. Honda Civic in front of me. And you know what my first reaction to that bumper sticker was? It made me angry. Maybe not for the reason you thought. It made me angry because I thought to myself, who are you telling me how I am supposed to feel? Now, part of my anger might also have something to do with there's a whole collection of bumper stickers in the car, not all of which were my cup of tea, but the main thing was, give me a break. I'll be angry when I darn well want to be angry. If you're not angry, pay attention, whatever. Rejoice always. Now, the Honda Civic in front of me did not have that bumper sticker. Though I checked, for $4.80, you can get one on Zazzle.com. Well, the car in front of me did not have that bumper sticker, did not have a Rejoice Always bumper sticker. It dawned on me in thinking about these words from St. Paul that someone, maybe even you, could have the same reaction to rejoice always as I had to if you're not angry. In fact, if the person in that Honda Civic got behind another vehicle that had a Rejoice Always bumper sticker on it, they probably would have had the same reaction to Rejoice Always as I had to if you're not angry. Namely, who are you telling me to rejoice? There's plenty to be angry about. Who are you telling me to be joyful? What if I feel like being angry? What if I feel like rear-ending you instead? I can imagine that reaction. Really don't have to imagine it at all because it is kind of my reaction to rejoice always, especially this time of year, this most wonderful time of the year, when 'tis the season to be jolly, when, please don't call me too much of a Scrooge, but doesn't it seem like there is an awful lot of manufactured joy and mandatory happiness going on? So if you happen to be down because your kids hate your politics and have decided to go non-contact this holiday season, or if you're really down because maybe this is the first Christmas that you are celebrating without your spouse, and someone asks you, well, don't you this love this time of year? You're supposed to say, well, yeah, just love it. Put on the Christmas hat, drink the eggnog, and be happy. For goodness sake, rejoice always. Do you see what I mean? And no, you don't have to have the perpetual grimace on your face that I imagine the person driving that Honda Civic in front of me probably had to notice, at least sometimes, that anger, not only understandable, is downright appropriate. And it doesn't take a whole lot of insight to recognize that while I can choose to put a smile on my face, I simply cannot choose to be truly happy. My mother can tell me as many times as she wants to say thank you and actually get me to say it, but do zilch to make me actually grateful. But what about authenticity? Or maybe this, maybe you grew up in a home where everything was far from fine, but where you had to pretend to be super fine because if you knew if you didn't, things would go crazy and dad would blow up, whatever, and you spent thousands of dollars in therapy just to get to the point where you recognize it is okay not to be happy all the time, then to be told not just by a bumper sticker that you can dismiss, but by none less than the Holy Spirit-filled St. Paul, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Rejoice always. It's kind of weird to say, but this very needlepoint on a pillow worthy statement, it can kind of sting. I'm supposed to rejoice? I have to rejoice? What if I'd rather stay in bed and eat ice cream? I'm depressed. And that's bad enough. Now I have to be depressed for being depressed. Feel guilty for that too. Well, that's what the Bible says. Amen. We're done. No, just kidding. It is what the Bible says. But maybe if we keep reading, maybe if we press on, the Holy Spirit will see fit to take away at least some of the sting, maybe all of it. See those words differently. If we press on, rejoice always, it says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's the will of God for you to rejoice. And that might make things worse for you if you hear will of God as the big divine standard that you must live up to, so that rejoice always is like commandment number 11. That probably makes things worse. But I don't think you have to hear it that way. In fact, I know you don't have to hear it that way. I think you can hear the will of God as something like what God most wants. When you hear the will of God, hear that as what God deepest, most deeply desires. The will of God is God's deepest desire for you and all of his creatures. I'm going to think of it this way. Not all of us are parents, but all of us have had parents. So if you are a parent, what is it you most want for your kids? If they're little, if they're big, what do you most want for them? Or if you don't have children, think of your own parents. What is it you think they would say if you, what did your parents most want for you? What's their deepest desire for you? Nick and Neen over here with blue, beautiful little Pearl. What is their deepest desire? What do they most want for her as she grows up? Could make a list, right? They have different things. Some of the same things have been a list. That she be kind. That she be strong. Be a strong person. You're not pulled willy-nilly this way or that into this group or that group. And she'd be happy. She'd be healthy. Resilient. Maybe you'd even say, I want to maybe undergo some things which are hard. So she becomes the sort of resilient person who can bounce back so that when life hits her in the face, as it will, she doesn't crumble. All the things a parent wants for their child. Now apply it to this will of God bit. And do you hear rejoice always? Maybe a little differently. If instead of thou must be happy, or this is what you will really feel if you're actually a Christian, if instead of one more demand upon it, what if we hear rejoice always as this is what your Father really, really wants for you? This is what the Father who loves you with an infinite love wants for you. This is what the Father who created you that he might enjoy you, him, your company, and you his. That he created us for each other, that we might enjoy each other's company for all eternity. His will, what he most wants, his deepest desire for his children is that you would be the kind of person who can rejoice always. You know, Paul, Thessalonians, he's writing to these Christians in Thessalonica. It's kind of city, big city then, anyway, still is. Big important trade city, kind of nestled in the northeast corner of modern-day Greece. And he's writing to these Thessalonians for lots of things, but one of the things he's writing to them about is they've gotten kind of concerned. You can see the people they love are dying. That's always a problem, but especially for them, because they had come to the not unreasonable conclusion that Jesus died, he rose, he ascended, that he'd be coming back really soon, like before anyone died anymore. And when they died, they were thinking to themselves, well, what does this mean? Does it mean they missed out on the Jesus stuff? Where are they? Should we still think of them? What are we to do? And Paul writes to them, he said, it's okay. Those who have died in Jesus, it's like they rested him. It's like they've fallen asleep in the Lord. They're with him, and when he returns, and he will, he'll bring them with him, and you'll see him again. And then he gives this wonderful line of why he is saying that. He says, I am telling you this, brothers, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Which is not to say so that you might not grieve because you're so busy rejoicing. No grief for you. But to say rather that while you absolutely grieve, you grieve differently. Dare I say, you don't have to dare say it because Paul says it himself. You grieve differently because even while you grieve, you can yet rejoice. With a face wet with tears, you can rejoice that the one over whom you grieve rests in Jesus and is safe with the Lord, who died and rose again, whose love is stronger than death.
Or maybe this is a better way to put it, or think of this whole thing. Do not confuse rejoice always with rejoice only. Why? Because to be a Christian, frankly, to probably to be a well-adjusted human being at all, but especially to be a Christian, is to be this strange, emotionally ambidextrous creature who can feel different things, who can experience more than one emotion at the same time. Grieve, you Thessalonians. Death stings, and it leaves a giant, real hole in you. But also rejoice, Thessalonians, because Jesus lives and the victory's won. Don't confuse rejoice always with rejoice only. In fact, back to those bumper stickers, I would really love to drive up behind a car that had both bumper stickers. If I had more time, I'd gone on Zazzle.com and ordered pairs of them for all of us. Both bumper stickers. So when I drive up behind this car, and on the left bumper sticker, it says, if you're not angry, you're not paying attention, because let's face it, if you really look around, if you're really looking in the mirror, have you seen this guy? There's plenty to be angry about. But then on the other bumper, rejoice always. Because Holy Spirit, let us believe it. Because mercy and grace and Pearl got baptized. And my football team won. And Jesus has this whole messed up world in his holy hands. And friends. And all your sins are forgiven, and Christmas cookies, and the living and loving God on the loose in the world, healing relationships, changing lives, coming for you, and making all things new. Rejoice always is the will of God, what your Heavenly Father most wants for you. I mean, heck, you might push back on me and say, actually, what He most wants for us is that we rejoice only, and good news, that will come. It will come when He comes once and for all in the new heaven and the new earth and every tear wiped away and death no more. But for now, it's rejoice always. For now, it's whatever's going on and rejoice. Be sad and rejoice. For Jesus knows your sadness and gathers your tears in His bottle. Have a blue Christmas and a hole in your heart the size of the Grand Canyon and rejoice. Because Christ born means healing is on the horizon. Be lonely and rejoice, for Christ is with you. Be off the wagon again and rejoice that Christ's love for you is not contingent upon your blood alcohol level or on anything else. Be angry and rejoice. Be concerned about your acne and getting picked on and rejoice. Be in jail and rejoice. Should be in jail, but rejoice that you're not. Experience whatever you are, whatever you're being, whatever you're feeling, whatever it is, and rejoice. Rejoice always. Because Jesus. In the name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.